And good morning, everybody. Well, as we focus on this particular day, I want to congratulate every one of you. Say, happy birthday. This is a very spectacular day that sometimes gets overlooked when you think about Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter and all the things that go along with it. But today is one of the most spectacular days ever. And it's the day when we can celebrate our birthday. And interestingly enough, when you have a birthday, usually some gifts come along with that. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But let's begin with prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you very much for Jesus. He is such a wonderful gift, and he has given us this priceless gift of his perfection, his life, the Holy Spirit living in us is Jesus. And you, Father, together, all at once, together in us, we could never begin to appreciate it the way we need to. It is just phenomenal. And what you have in store for us by this gift of the Holy Spirit is beyond our comprehension. And so we ask for your inspiration now and help us to really get a better grasp about what this day represents and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our best friend and Savior. Amen. Well, we know what God tells us in the very familiar scripture in Acts chapter 2, because God tells us to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now here is a gift. And this is what Jesus said everywhere he went. He was telling people everywhere to repent. In other words, to be changed, because this does transform your life when you understand what the Holy Spirit does in your life. Actually, we're going to see today seven ways that the Holy Spirit produces God's perfection in us. And of course, this makes absolutely no sense to anybody who does not have the Holy Spirit, because they just say, you're nuts. But this is what God has given to us. He calls us the righteousness of God, because only he can do that. He is the only one that can do that. And there's something going on behind the scenes that we're going to talk about here today. And it's priceless beyond words. But Jesus said very clearly in John chapter 3 and verse 3, unless you are born again, you shall in no wise see the kingdom of God. We need to be born again. When you are baptized, you have a new birthday. It is your spiritual birthday. And on that day, you received a spectacular gift, because without that gift, you would never have the opportunity for eternal life. So it's this gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized, as we read in Acts 2:38, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Also, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, this also says something else that demonstrates how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. In verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We know this academically, but today I would like for us to see how we can become more realistic and bring it into reality in our personal lives in seven ways that are absolutely spectacular. And so the very first way that I'd like to share is how the Holy Spirit produces God's perfection in us. And this perfection is who God is. The Holy Spirit is God. His Father, Son, and Spirit, they are one, and he is God, and he is perfect. And when he is living inside of you, you have perfection inside of you. Now, it's just a matter of whether we tap into that perfection. And if you want to be tapping into that morning, noon, and night, as David and Daniel both did, they were praying three times a day, and they were constantly relying upon God to do what only God can do. Then you can have the very perfection of God. And that is a process just like we heard in Barbara's book, that this forgiveness is a process, but it's a process of perfection. I would like to give an illustration, and this is so very important to understand, that this perfection that God gives to us is not from us. It doesn't come from being good. God says there's none good, not even one. And the goodness that is in us is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we will see that. But I'd like to use an illustration, because we just recently got a solar roof and it's been exciting. But this solar roof is powered by something that is phenomenal. Right now, we don't even have an electric bill because I felt like it was a lot of work to have to be paying this 300 plus electric bill every month, because we have so many things that required electricity. And now we have the free power of the sun. Now, that's the S-U-N that God made. It's free power because the sun that comes down and hits the roof produces power, and it costs us nothing. Now, of course, we paid for the roof, but we were going to have to do that anyway because it had so many leaks in it. But we get our power from the Son of God, the S-O-N. He is the one who lives in us. But this solar roof is such a beautiful illustration because it's free power. If you have the right environment to be set up, that sun brings its rays down and it produces incredible power. It actually powers an electric vehicle. It powers lights and powers our heating system, the air conditioning system. Everything in the house is able to be empowered by this solar roof. Well, this is symbolic, or very much like what Jesus Christ does. And I'd like us to notice the scripture in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. And so it is Jesus Christ and his righteousness that makes us righteous. It is like those sun rays. It's free. It's free for the, he says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Another scripture, it says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. Now, I might mention, you don't need to write all these scriptures down, because there's going to be a handout coming in your email, and it'll have all these scriptures for you and also all of the notes. So if you would like to just listen carefully, I'd like for you to just feast on these words of God and the perfection that God is in the process of giving to you. And then, of course, at the resurrection, we will be fully perfect, because we'll be just like Jesus Christ, as 1 John 3 verses 1 to 2 bring out. But here in 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, such were some of you, but you were washed. When you were baptized, you were washed. You were cleansed. This is God telling us what we're going to become like. We're going to become clean and pure and righteous because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. And that is a power that you must tap into. You can't just say, it's up to you. You've got to willingly submit and surrender to the power of God. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with that promised Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is perfection. You can actually begin to be perfect the way God wants you to be perfect. You will not be fully perfect until the resurrection, but we are in the process of becoming perfect, and you can ask for more and more of his perfection. If you want more wisdom, James 1:5 says, just ask, and God gives liberally. But we must ask in faith, believing, because we know God does not lie, and he will give you more wisdom. He'll give you whatever you ask of him, as long as you're willing to surrender to his will and let him work in your life, and you'll get self out of the way. The problem is when we just say, well, I want to do this, And I want to, well, the wannas just don't work. You need to ask God to do it and get yourself out of the way. Another scripture in Romans 8 and verse 9 says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if in fact the spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And then one more in John chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, the wind blows where it wishes and you have its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. There is something spiritual behind the scenes. It's the Holy Spirit that is working in you that people can't see. They can only see the fruits of the Spirit in your life. Just like that solar roof, you cannot see the power in action. You can see the sun's rays coming down, or you can feel it because of the heat and so on. But the power that is going into that roof is miraculous. It's something that God created, and you can't see that power in action any more than you can see the Holy Spirit, because it's invisible. And so this is the first way that the Holy Spirit produces in us God's perfection. It's the very perfection of Jesus Christ. It's the perfect works of Jesus Christ that God the Father is applying to us and credits the righteousness of Jesus Christ to you personally. And that's something to be thankful for. What a gift on our birthday. All right, let's take a look at the second way that the Holy Spirit produces God's perfection in us. And that is by providing intimacy with God, which is what prayer is all about. But the Holy Spirit wants to pray through us. He provides intimacy with us. Prayer is another gift. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is power, and prayer is power that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. It is miraculous. It gives us access to perfection. If you want to become perfect, like Matthew 5:48, I think it's says, become you therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The Holy Spirit provides this intimacy with God. This is where you're talking to and listening to God. You talk to God through prayer, but then you listen to God, because otherwise it's a one-way street. And a lot of people just pray and wonder why nothing happens. It's because it's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. You listen to God and you ask him to incorporate and instill in us the very words you're reading in his word. In John 3 and verse 3, as we mentioned before, you must be born again. And those who are not born again cannot see the kingdom of God. The only way you're going to see the kingdom of God is when the word of God is living in and through you, because you are listening to what he says and you are asking the Holy Spirit to bring it about in your life, and even asking him to help you to yield to the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit is in charge of your life instead of you. Let's take a look at a few more of these scriptures that describe how this works. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. God has to be the one that does. You don't own your life. He made us, every one of us. And so we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. So you are not your own. Let's take a look at John 14 verses 15 through 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. This is the Holy Spirit that the church received on the day of Pentecost that we are celebrating here today. To be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or doesn't know him. This is like that solar power we were talking about on the roof. You can't see it, but you can see the fruits of it. You can see the results. When the power comes on, and what I really like is when the bill comes in the mail and it says no charge, it's all paid for, no electricity bill. That's what God gives to us. And through prayer, he gives us his perfection for free, all behind the scenes. Nobody needs to see what's going on. They just see the fruits of it when the light turns on in your house and most of all in your life. Another scripture is Romans 5 and verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When you pray, the Holy Spirit is poured into your heart and it goes from your heart out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when the Holy Spirit is poured out into your heart, it is able to go back to God with a prayer that the Father appreciates with his entire being. He loves it when the Holy Spirit is praying in and through you. And one more scripture is in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Father. That is so awesome that God has sent his Spirit into our hearts. He is the one that changes our hearts. We can't change our hearts. What a privilege, what a blessing that is beyond belief. Well, all right, let's take a look at the third way that the Holy Spirit produces and brings God's perfection. He changes us. This is the repentance that God says that we must have happening in our lives. That repentance comes about by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that changes us. We don't change. He changes us and we let him change us by surrendering to him. And so the third way that God's Holy Spirit produces his perfection in us is by producing spiritual fruit in us. And this is another amazing thing. Instead of the solar roof, let's just look at an electric car, because an electric car is a good illustration. Because an electric car, the ones that are being made now, can be on autopilot. This is just a phenomenal thing that's becoming available today that's hard to even wrap your mind around, how a car can actually run by itself and be automatic. But this is what happens when you have the Holy Spirit living in you actively and you're yielding to the Holy Spirit. You are going to be producing the fruits of the Spirit. Automatically. That's automatic. You don't even have to work at it. It's the work of God. And you just say, God, I need you to produce your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, because mine just doesn't cut the mustard. I need your faith, your gentleness, your meekness, and pray for each one of them individually. Ask God for each one of these individual fruits. And to let them come alive in you and just yield to it. And the way you yield to it is by listening to God, reading his word. And it is amazing what will take place. Just like that electric car, it'll operate on autopilot when the Holy Spirit is yielded to by us and we give up our human nature and accept the nature of God, which is the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at a few of the scriptures about that. And it says here in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, all these things that everybody wishes they had, and they're free. You just ask God for them, but you must be willing to be obedient to what he says and he guides you to do by the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. Acts 1 and verse 8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. This is what repentance does. And it came about on the day of Pentecost that we're celebrating. I will put verse 27. My spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my laws. And then John chapter 20 verses 21 through 22. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anybody's sins, they are forgiven. And so that's exactly what God wants to do. He just wants to give you the forgiveness so that you can forgive others. And if you want to forgive others, just ask God to give you that spirit of forgiveness, that humility and the self-control to be able to say yes to God and no to self. Because you know what the self wants. He wants vengeance, but God says, that's mine, not yours. And let's take a look at Matthew 10 and verse 20. For it is not you who speaks, but the spirit of your Father speaking through you. So you don't have to be perfect. You need God's perfection, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives it to you, but you ask for it and you yield to it. And then finally, Hebrews 9 and verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Phenomenal scriptures, and what a gift, what a blessing that God is giving to us. All right, the fourth way that the Holy Spirit produces the perfection of God in us is by giving us power over sin, power over Satan. And this is another, I love the illustration. I like these latest inventions with these electric cars and so forth, but it's just phenomenal about this autopilot. Our sinful nature that we have is always screwing up, and the Holy Spirit can help you and keep you from screwing up. When you're on autopilot, you avoid the human weakness of falling asleep at the wheel, because this human weakness, you can be dead by just falling asleep at the wheel and you hit some tree and you're gone. But the autopilot saves you from death because it always stays awake and keeps you on the right road. And with these human weaknesses, if you start using your cell phone while you're there, before you know it, you're going to do something that you're wishing you had never done before. And that is holding your cell phone. I understand that because I just got a ticket for that. And I'm determined more than ever, leave that cell phone alone while you're driving. Sometimes human beings have to learn the hard way. I got to learn the easy way by having to pay a ticket. And when I have to pay for a ticket, then that has quite an impact. So, but the real thing is realizing that you are endangering the lives of precious people when you're looking at your cell phone. So this autopilot gives us power over this human nature, over the weaknesses of the flesh that take place in our human nature. But God gives us this Holy Spirit gift of power over Satan. Satan cannot do anything to you without permission from God. That is good news, that God has total power over Satan. And all you have to do is be praying as God commands in the model prayer. Lead us not into sore trial, but deliver us from the evil one. And that is so very important to be praying. God, deliver us from sin and from Satan. But he gives us power. All we need to do is ask him to give us that power. Let's take a look at John 14, 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you into remembrance all that I've said to you. John 15, verse 26. And when the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And so he will give you incredible power over the flesh. Therefore, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is cursed, and no one who can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And when you say Jesus is Lord, guess where Satan goes? In Jesus' name, he is gone. In fact, all you need to do is carry a Bible with you, and Satan will probably try to get out of your presence because he does not like the word of God. When you speak the word of God through the Holy Spirit, Satan says, I'm out of here. So what a gift, what a blessing. In 1 Corinthians 2, one last scripture, verses 13 through 14. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them. So people don't know how to get rid of Satan. They don't know what to do. They fall prey to depression. They fall prey to deception. And all we need to do is just say, God, deliver us from deception. Deliver us from the evil thoughts. Deliver us from sin. Deliver us from Satan and his henchmen who are out there looking. He's like, he's sending these fiery darts trying to penetrate your mind with all these negative thoughts about people or things, or having a wrong attitude or anger or lust or all of these things. They can all be taken away just by putting up that shield of faith wherewith you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, Satan the devil, who is the author of sin. Number five, the fifth way that the Holy Spirit brings about the perfection of God in us is by revealing biblical truth to us. Every time I pick up my Bible and I read a scripture, it's like something else jumps out at me. And I just say, wow, how could I have not read that and seen that? I've read that verse so many times. But one of the most important ways that the Holy Spirit changes us is by giving us the ability to see and know and understand God's truth. Without the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God seems like foolishness. That's what God says. But with the Holy Spirit, we can see what we would have never noticed before. And God will just open your eyes to biblical truth. But you have to open your Bible to receive it and be praying and saying, God, give me understanding. Help me to understand this verse. What are you trying to tell me? And give me the heart to change. I want to be more like you. I want to have your Spirit in charge of my life. And so another thing about these electric cars that's another amazing thing is, have you ever noticed on the new cars that you can look on your screen, on your dash, and you can see behind you? Now, when was the last time you looked through the back of your head and you could see what was behind you? What a gift. But God is able to see things and help you to see things that you could never see otherwise, so that you don't back out and drive over some little child that might be walking back there because you've got eyes in the back of your head. God protects you. He helps you to see things you would never see otherwise. And also, the latest cars with these on autopilot have cameras surrounding the car to keep them on the autopilot. That's what God does for us. He's looking out for us on every side. He's watching out for us. What a gift. What a blessing. It is just unbelievable what God is doing for us. Let's take a look now at the sixth way that God brings about his perfection by the Holy Spirit in us, and that is by transforming our prayers. The Bible makes it very clear that we don't know how to pray as we ought to. That's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, where God says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So what is it saying? It is just telling us you don't know how to pray. You might think you do because you get down there and say this and say that. But I'll tell you, I've learned this more recently, that when I just say, God, I don't know how to pray. You know, I just keep saying the same thing over and over again until you ask the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Then the Holy Spirit inhabits your heart, and out of your heart produces a prayer that you would have never been able to pray without asking for the Holy Spirit to pray through you. I challenge you, try it. You will be shocked. You'll be so inspired. You'll never want to pray any other way, because the Holy Spirit will be giving you the words and the thoughts and what to pray about, and he will bring them to mind. And he knows exactly what the Father wants you to pray about. God doesn't need our prayers. We need to pray. And he wants to transform our prayers so they are prayers by God himself. He wants to live his life through us. And when he lives his life through us, we can live our lives in him. There's something about the spirit world where we can inhabit each other. That's something we can't do in the flesh. But we will be sitting in Christ's throne. Can you imagine a million people sitting in the same chair? Well, when we're sitting in Christ's throne, you'll have another million people there right with you in the first resurrection, sitting in the Christ throne with him, because we can live in him and he lives in us. And he also wants to transform our prayers so that they're not just physical prayers that are from us, but they are prayers from and by and through the Holy Spirit. Let's notice what it says in these scriptures here. In Galatians 4 and verse 6, he says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Father, or Abba, Father. Ephesians 5, 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father. When the Holy Spirit is living in through us, those things will just flow out of your heart, because that comes from the Holy Spirit who's dwelling in your heart. And then finally, one more scripture, Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. If you want a prayer that pleases God, ask the Holy Spirit to pray through you, and you will be astounded at what will happen and what a gift that is. Another one of those priceless gifts given to us on our birthday, the Holy Spirit. And finally, number 7, a seventh way that God brings about his perfection in us is by giving us his spiritual desires. Now, that's what David saw it. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And this is the beautiful thing. And I love the illustration of solar power, because solar power is just clean energy and it's unlimited. I mean, the power of the sun could take care of all the electricity in the entire world for thousands of years, forever. That's the power that God gives to us by the Holy Spirit. And that's why the sun is like pure light. It is pure light. And God wants the Holy Spirit in us because that is the pure light. He gives us his pure desires so that there's no dirt, no anger, hatred, and all those evil things when we have God's desires. So the desires that he gives to us just change our thoughts so that the things that we want to do are going to be pleasing to God. Like God says, whatever you do, do everything to the glory of God. And when he gives us these spiritual desires, where you're going to be yearning to read your Bible rather than saying, oh no, I just keep forgetting, and I got so much to do, and I just don't know if I'm going to ever have time to read the Bible. But when the Holy Spirit is in you, you are drawn to the Bible. The Holy Spirit will draw you right there. And so these are the gifts. These are just 7. There's many, many more gifts, but these are 7 beautiful gifts that God gives to us. And we can just thank God forever for this priceless gift of the Holy Spirit, this miracle that God gave to us at our birthday on this day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago and on the day of our baptism. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you very much. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. It is free. It is a gift. It is priceless. It's a miracle. It is transformational. It gives us your perfection. God, we could never be perfect on our own any way, manner, shape, or form. But you are perfect, and we let you live in us, and we can begin to have your perfection more and more and more each day as we ask. And we ask now, Father, that you will prompt us and remind us so that we will be drawn to you and seek you and seek your desires and your ways and your will, so that Satan will no longer want to be hanging around, because he knows he has no place in our lives, because Jesus Christ is living in us. And we thank you, God, for this priceless gift of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.